Good morning, 97.1. Dear John, it's 7:35 today. Bumping it up on a Wednesday because it's a Friday for you, John.
It is. I'm going to be off the next couple of days. We've got baseball and softball down in the Canton, Ohio area.
Are you going to stop by Hall of Fame?
Yeah, we're gonna try and take some of the teams over there and peruse the Hall of Fame. And so I'm looking forward to that. Obviously, being down in that state is nothing to be excited about, but hopefully there's some wins down there.
So we'll get some wisdom from you at 7:35 later this hour. You found this report that the Lions had the most expensive ticket last year. It's not a surprise talking to Lions fans, but that was not set by the team. That was secondary market pricing. We priced our own fans out because the demand got so bonkers last season, and it's understandable.
Mm-hmm.
15 wins, best team in football. Even through the injuries, it felt like we come in on Mondays, and they did it again. They found a way to win. It was euphoric, and it was exciting.
And we all know that we're going to pay more money for tickets when it's a good team. Like, there's the high, the demand is there. The excitement is there.
It's supply-demand. It's basic economics. But the question is the infighting with old-school and new-school fans, and does it reach a peak at some point where we can only come down?
I mean, I don't know that at any point anything's going to come down. I really don't know that, because until the Lions are not winning, and I don't think we see that in any time in the near future, it's not going to come down. I think it is could continue to go up and up and up, and we are pricing out families. And if – I mean, for me, obviously, if I buy tickets, it's going to have to be more than just four. But if I was only going to take, you know, Lisa and I and two of the kids
– how do you pick?
Oh, that's easy. I rank them every day.
Okay.
And so, yeah.
Does it change
it
like
depends.
A power ranking, like surge?
Yeah. Just like, I mean, Dion does this as well. We've talked about that. It's, yeah, there's a power surge. There's a ranking. And two of them are going to be off to college. So it makes it a little bit easier.
Okay.
Now I got to pick between two of the three, and Teddy can't stay home alone.
Okay.
So, thank you, Greg. not going into the power surge right now of the ranking of the
number
Jansen
four,
kids.
Teddy Jansen.
But it's $1,000? For a family of four, and that you're not buying hot dogs, you're not buying nachos,
you're also
you're not
sitting
buying
anywhere
beers.
Nice,
right? It that's just to get in the door, and then you know you go with the family, and you know, I know you don't have to buy a hat for the kids, but those are inflated at the stadium as well, or a jersey, or a T-shirt, or you know some type of paraphernalia. It is an expensive proposition to go to a Lions football game.
So we've got the lines open for Lions fans. You're gearing up for this season. You expect to pay more than you did a year ago. You already paid the most in football, secondary market. The team, I mean, hard to be better than they were last year at 15 wins, and we have heard from Lions fans that have more doubts, right? When you get smacked the way they did on their home field in their first playoff game, and then you lose two coordinators, and you lose the interior O-line, and where's the pass rush opposite Hutch? Does any of that slow down this freight train, this runaway train, from ticket pricing, 248-539-9797.
Well, it'll be interesting, you know, especially as the season starts, because a lot of people are going to be interested, and I do think that, you know, Za'Darius Smith is back, which makes the defense better, and you have somebody opposite Aiden Hutchinson that you believe can get to the quarterback, and he's going to be even better. We saw what he was opposite Myles Garrett. I would be interested to see what he is opposite Aiden Hutchinson. Just Aiden Hutchinson being on the field, I think, is a draw for a lot of people.
But what if they don't start as hot? Because we've all looked at the schedule, and the first half of the schedule specifically is the tougher stretch. I'm not predicting they lose to Green Bay week one, but it is a toss-up game.
Sure.
The spread's under a field goal. They're going to face Baltimore in the first month of the season. They're going to face Cincinnati and Kansas City both on the road before we even get midway through October. If they have two or three losses, they only lost two games all of last year. Does that splash cold water on the pricing? Or because it's just such a big event regardless, people are going to go.
I think it's such a big event regardless. And, okay, I know that we were spoiled last year with a 15-2 regular season record. And everybody that we talk to now, and you and I are kind of on the same page, it's not about what you do in the regular season. I think we all believe that they're going to be a postseason team. That's
yes.
The floor, is
yes.
That they're a postseason team, however they get there. But I do think that the Lions fans are educated enough to know 15-2 is not the norm. All right, I mean, that's not
it's
breaking
never
news.
Happened.
It's never happened for the Detroit Lions. And who I do expect it to happen again. I just don't think it's going to be this year. And if you start the season off with two or three losses, you look at the schedule. Lions fans know it's a tough road, but I don't think it's going to deter them from going to games. I don't think it's going to deter them from wanting to see some of those division opponents, to seeing the Detroit Lions, to watching Dan Campbell on the sidelines, and just being a part of it, because there still is this belief that this year could be a Super Bowl run.
Yeah. And that it's one of the years in the window.
Yeah, they are a contender. And maybe they don't have the same juice going into this season as they did last year, but we knew yesterday at 10 o'clock that was going to be a contentious time in Lions fans' lives, because they wanted free tickets to go to practice. Those are all going to be sold out.
Yeah.
I don't think it's not going to damper anything in regards to fans wanting to go to Lions football games.
Yeah, again, those were free, so it's hard to use it as a judgment. But I had a guy message me screenshots. He was 7,000th in line yesterday.
So was my husband. So was Colin. He messaged me right before the show ended. He's like, I'm here, I'm in line. But he had like 4,000 at least in front of him.
And did he end up getting any?
He stuck around because he's like, maybe. But he's like, oh, they're dropping. No, he didn't get any.
This guy didn't either.
No, he stuck around to see. But then all of a sudden he's like, oh my gosh, well now it's down to 500. It's down to
– yeah.
He didn't get any.
Yeah.
Some ticket texts that are coming in.
Hopefully he knows someone.
I hope so. We'll see.
Ticket texters coming in with their thoughts. Says, can we stop with the new and old Lions fans thing? Just because you didn't go to a game or weren't fully invested when the team was losing, does it make you less of a fan?
Oh, no.
That's not
what I'm saying. But having a larger fan base, more, I don't want to say larger fan base, having more individuals that want to go to Lions games is what's driving this price.
Yeah, the more the merrier. I love that the team is more popular, that people who weren't as invested before are invested now. And that comes with the territory. It's a good thing. It's the hallmark of a good football team.
But we've all heard the stories of, you know, I was a longtime season ticket holder. The prices have gone up. I've decided not to invest in season tickets. I'm going to go to one or two games. Even those one or two games, just simply going to those might be the same cost that you were paying previously for season tickets.
Well, yeah, ticket texter saying football, it's hard to justify this cost. It says last year we were passing through thinking, we'll play the Titans, we should kick their butt. Maybe this week we could afford to go. And those were $300 a seat. Families can't justify the price. Vinny in Macomb. Had cousins fly in from Tennessee for the Titans game. I haven't seen it in years. I paid $3,000 for 10 tickets in the corner end zone.
You must love your family.
Wow.
Yeah, seriously.
People are quoting, like, if you have four tickets, you're paying four digits. There's really no way around it.
Yeah. No.
It says, I could see buying one ticket and going with friends. I can't fathom four seats for my family at these costs. It stinks because my kids won't be able to go for a while.
Well, and that's the big thing is we, especially, this is just speaking for myself, if I'm going to go to a game, I want to take my kids. I want to share that experience with them, and the thought of spending more than $250 on a ticket to where obviously I'm not going to do it for Teddy because he's not going to remember the moment. And now if it's Jack and Ellie, they'll remember it. But at some point, I don't know. Maybe they get all the way to the fourth quarter and they're like, hey, can we go? And then I'm sitting there forcing them to sit there. I don't want to go through that for that expense.
Texter says I'm priced out. It's a TV sport only at this point. Another texter says our family is priced out of Lions games, and we're huge fans. Kids are 10, 9, 6 years old. Says, unfortunately, we can't go in person with the cost.
Yeah, and the first home game against Chicago.
Yeah, it's gonna be electric.
That's going to be absolutely electric, and I don't. If you're looking at a game to go, like the Titans game last year, if you're looking at it going, okay, well, maybe Cleveland. Well, Cleveland, even though they're bad, they're a team that'll travel. What is it that – which game is it that you think that you're going to be able to get into? Because then it's Tampa. Well, that's a great matchup.
Yep.
We know what happened
last
year.
Playoff teams.
Yeah, Minnesota, division opponent. Maybe it's the Giants. Dallas is going to be a good draw. I mean, there's no one.
There's no breaks for fans. Yeah. There's none. Texter says, you guys aren't having your kids skip meals to go to games? Fake fans. Yes. Are you a real fan?
Yes.
We're doing breakfast, dinner only in this household so we can go see the Cowboy game.
Yeah, yeah. And when we're at the game, hey, there's no waters. find a drinking fountain.
Oh, God. 248-539-9797. This is the reality, guys. Team's great. We can blame the team for raising prices, but this is secondary market, the most expensive ticket in the NFL, and it has no signs of slowing down. Coming up next, someone calling a Lions player overrated. This is a player we think is the best in the league, arguably,
yeah,
being called overrated. John, you have the unique qualifications to bite back. We'll do that next, 97.1. If you're injured in an auto accident, you need to listen up. You need a law firm that cares about you. KG Law is that law firm. Lawrence KG and his team, they're not your stuffy, slimy lawyer types. They're down-to-earth, approachable people, and it shows in the work they do for you. They care. 98% success rate. They win. The phone number is 877-KG-CARES. You can check them out online at kgcares.com, spelled K-A-J-Y. If you or a loved one has been injured in a car accident, call KG Law now. Check them out, kgcares.com. It's been open for more than a few years, but this is our first time getting down here.
This is a great environment, and I love the fact that the sun comes up. I mean, I'm glad there's a little cloud cover, but it would literally have been shining us right in the face. But it comes up over the condos on the right field wall. It's a beautiful setup. They've done such a nice job of making this a destination downtown.
It makes me think, looking at those condos, have you seen the ones that get built into like minor league ballparks and stuff?
Yes. It's cool.
It's super cool.
Yeah.
I don't know what it'd be like to live there every day, but it seems like for a day it'd be awesome.
Well, it's the transformation of downtown that we've all seen over the past 5 years, past decade, to think that this is the vision that someone had. And, I mean, Corktown's right here, right? You live in one of these condos, you get a chance to see anything that's going on here,
yeah,
and then you walk to some of the restaurants that are right around the corner. You're right next to the highway. You get wherever you want quickly.
Yep.
It's they've done a really nice job.
John, you are uniquely qualified to respond to the criticism leveled at Penei Sewell. We have an all-pro sitting right here.
Yep.
And we have an all-pro with some quotes. Mitchell Schwartz, familiar with his work?
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. He said about Penei Sewell, who is ranked second among offensive tackles and number one among right tackles, quote, "Whoever's running Sewell's PR firm needs a raise. A Super Bowl champ who's earned 4 All-Pro selections in 5 years with the Chiefs," that's a Schwartz resume, "says I don't care how good of a run blocker you are. Being an average or above average pass blocker means you aren't the best on your side or the second best tackle overall. Everyone's going to think I hate Sewell. I don't. He's still the second best right tackle. He's just not good enough to get the accolades and praise he currently is."
So, and in his opinion, Lane Johnson should be the number one right tackle.
Yes.
And like he said, I don't want this to come across like I don't think Lane Johnson is any good. Lane Johnson is amazing. I just believe, and we're splitting hairs here when we're talking about Lane Johnson versus Penei Sewell. To me, if I'm putting together an offensive line, I want Penei Sewell over Lane Johnson. And part of it is the offense that I'm running. I want to be able to run the ball. Yeah, the physicality of it. And Mitchell Schwartz addresses that. He's very physical. He's really good at run blocking. But what I like about Penei Sewell, and I think he's number one. I would put him above Tristan Wirfs because, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, availability is a part of the equation.
Yeah.
Penei Sewell, when was the last time Penei Sewell missed a game?
He hasn't, has he?
No.
No.
And so I know he's going to be there every time, and that's a little bit of fool's goal. At some point, he's going to miss a game because he's dinged up or something happens. But his pass protection, he's a guy that you have the ability. Lane Johnson's not going to go play left tackle. You have the ability with Penei Sewell to play either left or right.
So, but what do you say? He says 30th in pass block grade by PFF. That's average to above average relative to players like Johnson, who he's being compared to. Do we overrate Penei Sewell as a pass blocker?
No. And some of the numbers with PFF, I've always said that I don't necessarily agree with. There's really – it's really hard to quantify what you see offensive linemen do. What I see in Penei Sewell, some of it I've already talked about in terms of the explosion in the run game, his footwork, his there's footwork for run game, there's footwork for pass game. The run game, you never see him get beat inside. You see, and if he does take a bad step, which is a rare occasion, he has such great athletic ability. He's one of those rare guys that I would tell young players, watch the end result, not necessarily how he gets there, because I didn't have the athletic ability to get away with what Penei Sewell can do. If I made a mistake, most times it was terminal. For Penei Sewell, if he makes a mistake,
he can rally.
He can rally. He's got the ability to make up for it because he is such an unbelievable athlete. He's probably in the top five, top three athletes on the Detroit Lions. And you put that across the league, he is one of the top athletes in this league, regardless of position. Now when you're talking about pass blocking, his ability to, one, to flip sides and set as a left, you know, out of that left-handed stand as a left tackle or right as a right tackle is remarkable. But his fluidity in pass setting, his ability to throw change-up pitches, he doesn't always have to set the same way because he's such a great athlete. He can jump set a wide edge, which is not something that you would ever really want to do, but he has that ability to do that because if somebody comes inside, boom, he's got that inside foot. He's right there. He closes it off. He makes you think you've won, and then all of a sudden you're on your back and you haven't. The use of his hands, he is as good as you're going to find at the tackle position with the ability to use his hands and never get caught off balance. And I say never, almost never. It's going to happen. You know, Lane Johnson ends up on his butt sometimes. Penei Sewell ends up on his butt sometimes. But I just like his technique. I like his recoverability. I like his athletic ability. His footwork is so ingrained in him. And he's one of those guys that just simply plays with his food. I'm going to make you think that you got me around the edge, and then all of a sudden I'm going to run you 15 yards deep when you thought you were able to get to the quarterback. I'm going to overset you, think you got the inside, and then all of a sudden I recover, and boom, I've made my life easy because I can just simply do whatever I want to do knowing that I'm going to beat you. I get to have fun going out there and just dominating every single time, no matter the opponent.
I'm not going to say anything better than what you said. I mean, this is your position. This is right tackle. This is the National Football League. I think just to bolster your point, he gave up one sack and 600 pass blocking snaps a year ago, so I'm not really sure. PFF, I use it as a tool, not gospel. To your point, if it didn't look mechanically perfect, but at the end of the day, the other guy's not hitting Jared Goff, at the end of the day, it doesn't generate pressure because he wins.
Yeah,
that's his job. And sure, I would agree with the point that he gets a boost popularity-wise because of physicality. Right, finishing blocks
So that's a detriment.
No, I'm not saying it is. But
he gets a boost because he's damn good at it.
And he points out because Ben Johnson let him do fun things like catch and throw passes. But that speaks to his athleticism, and it does help his popularity, but it doesn't change the fact that this guy's nails. He's phenomenal, and I'm just happy we could have you refute some of what Mitchell Schwartz had to say.
Yeah, happy to go in depth on that one at any time.
John, his footwork, two times he's he's had the ball. He's tripped.
I'm not going to justify that.
he could be a more well-rounded skill player.
Yeah,
he's got this tackle thing down pat. Okay, what we're going to do is Dear John at 7:35, and then we're going to get into the All-Star game. Six Tigers in the game.
No hits.
No hits, and wasn't great on the mound either. But
yeah,
some
a
things,
lot of hits.
Some things stood out in the game, too. One that you want to bring to the regular season and one that I want to bring to the regular season. Let's get to Heather's news first.
Well, Eminem has a new documentary out that features the long, sometimes complicated relationship he's had with his most diehard fans.
Stans.
Yes, that's the name of the documentary. And it's going to hit theaters next month, so very soon. So Stans will arrive at AMC Theaters on August 7th for a limited time screening. If you want tickets, they, I think, are available, advanced tickets for showings at 5 Metro Detroit locations. You can get them now.
So I can't go to MJR for the Stans experience?
For the more fun at MJR. Yeah, you can't get that, but you can go to AMC. There is a trailer, a little teaser that was released on Tuesday.
So what style is it? Is it like a documentary?
Documentary.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's all I got. I mean, I
okay. People are going to check it out. I'm
excited.
Sure.
Oh, yeah. Sure. Yeah, it'll be cool.
I would check it out, but I probably wouldn't go to a theater to
no,
see
it. No, wait for it to stream.
If it does, yeah. Yeah.
Sure, well, eventually. It's not going to be a DVD.
Oh, my gosh. Wait around for a long time for that. Hey, if you get a call about missing jury duty and then somebody threatening jail time because you haven't paid up, just hang up because it is a scam. But apparently it's going around, and there's an Oakland County woman that's sharing her story and how she was nearly scammed out of thousands of dollars. So she got a call from a restricted number. Typically, I don't answer those calls.
Yeah.
If you need to leave me a message, leave me a message. But she says she answered them because of a past experience she's had where it was an emergency and she needed to answer. So she picked it up, said the person on the other line was very, you know, authoritative, very firm, and was just telling her, hey, I'm an Oakland County Sheriff. This is my badge number. You missed jury duty. And there's 2 warrants out for your arrest. And she believed it because 2 or 3 months before that, she'd actually received a jury summons in the mail with a questionnaire, and she'd never heard back from that. So she thought, oh my gosh, maybe I really did miss jury duty. They wanted $1,500 for each warrant. So she would have been out $3,000.
Yeah.
And she was actually going to the bank, and that's when the first red flag hit, is that this person on the other line said, you know what, nope, I cannot disconnect this call with you while you're at the bank. We need to stay on the phone.
Yeah, no.
And her friend was with her, and her friend said, hold up, I'm going to call the Oakland County Sheriff's Department. I'm going to check this badge number. And the guy overheard the friend, and he hung up. So thankfully, the scam ended, but it's probably happening to other people out there. The Oakland County Sheriff's Office is just warning people, hey, law enforcement will never demand immediate payment for missing jury duty. Right? Like, it's not going to happen that way. That's not something that's going to take place. So just...
Lisa got a call like this.
She did.
Maybe about a year ago, and it was a voicemail that kind of said the same thing. Hey, it's the Oakland County Sheriff's Department. You need to call us back. Maybe it was Wayne County. I can't remember. So obviously I called some of my friends in law enforcement and said, hey, what is this? If we need to call back. And they're like, no, this scam has been going around.
Wow.
Obviously they're tweaking it as they, you know, scammers like to do. But yeah, it's make sure you call the police department.
Yeah. And if it doesn't feel right, trust your instincts and make those phone calls. Don't just jump right into something. That money can wait a little bit, even if it's real, right? Hey, Jared Goff, he's now on daddy duty, right? He and his wife, Kristen, are officially new parents. They welcomed a little baby girl. They shared some photos on social media Tuesday afternoon. Romy Isabel Goff. So congrats to them.
Congrats to them. And I talked to Jared at the draft, the little draft party we had down here at that time. Crib was ready to go. Room was almost painted.
Yeah.
All the different things on daddy duty that you got to do before the baby arrives. So I'm sure that it was all locked up and ready to go for baby Romy. So congratulations to them. It's a great moment.
Exciting.
Tough time of year for a football player to have their firstborn.
Hi, sweetie. Goodbye.
Right.
It's tough. That's tough.
Well, better now than in October.
No. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I would probably say it would be better to have one in October. Yeah, I mean, so when I was playing, obviously the 4 that were born when I was playing were all in January. And in Washington, we were not a postseason team very often, at least not late January. So that was, to me, the perfect time. I would rather have it closer to the end of the season because the first couple of months, right, there, depending on how she is going to feed the baby, sometimes there's not a lot for dad to do. You could change diapers. But it's very mom intensive.
But you can be there to support.
Oh yeah,
mom.
You could be there to support. Yeah, but right now you have a baby, and then all of a sudden, you know, 2 weeks later, you're off to training camp, where coaches are going to expect you to stay at the team hotel. That it's a tough time of year. So,
But
I'm sure they've
them.
Got plenty of help.
I'm sure they do.
And now he gets dad strength, so that should help
yeah.
him this season.
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh.
Heather with the news. Coming up next, it's Dear John. It's 97.1. Going to the dentist, look, it might not be your favorite thing to do. Brightside Dental is aware of it, and they want to stress that there's no judgment if you get back to the dentist. If you've missed those regular six-month cleanings, it doesn't have to be a source of anxiety or stress. They're going to take care of you without any judgment. And if you've been thinking about that smile and you don't want to do metal braces but you still want to correct your smile, they've got Invisalign with deals starting as low as $59 a month. Straight teeth, straightforward pricing. That's something to smile about. Mention Jim Costa and the Morning Show. Lock in that price. Give them a call, 1-800-PAINLESS. Go to brightsidedental.com. That's Brightside Dental. No judgment, just care. Oh, we got it sponsored now.
Yes, yes. Thanks to Founders, All Day IPA. Maybe a couple of those this weekend.
There you go. Sounds good. We have Dear John, questions submitted by you guys, DearJohnJansen@gmail.com.
I don't know if you know this, but last night when you sent these out, mm-hmm. you included me on the email.
Oh, no. Did you?
But having the moral compass of the show, at least supposedly the moral compass of the show.
You avoided the temptation.
I did. I clicked on it because I thought it was just more a couple of topics. Maybe, hey, you decided to add a little bit later in the night. As soon as I saw it was Dear John, I decided, I'm like, this is, I don't want to ruin the spirit of the segment.
So just a little look ahead. We have luxury living.
Okay.
The work wife.
Oh, boy.
Picking up women at the gym.
Ooh.
And should I involve HR?
Okay. All right.
We'll start with luxury living. Dear John, I'm a listener in Chicago, originally from Sterling Heights, but I moved out here for work. I'm looking to upgrade what I think would be to my dream place. Floor-to-ceiling windows, rooftop pool, kitchen island, in-unit dishwasher. It also has a full basketball court and a full-time gym like you could sell memberships to. It would be an additional $300 a month, which stretches me to the edge of my budget. I could afford it, but I'd have to cut back on going out and slow down on my savings goals. Should I splurge?
So, is this a rental or is this, this a purchase?
Apartment's renting, I would imagine.
Okay.
But that's city living.
Right. It's city living. I would say no. If it's going to, if it's simply cutting down on some of the other things, you choose where you spend your money. Mm-hmm. But if it's cutting down on your savings, at this point, I would say no. Don't do it, because if it's just a rental, you're never going to get that money back. You're not building any equity in it. And I mean, if it was a purchase, it was a condo.
Sure.
Then I would say, okay, I would, because you could, you got two forms of savings. One, if you have a mortgage, right, you're paying your mortgage, you're building equity there, you're building for something in the future, and, you know, versus just throwing it into, you know, the market. I would say don't stop saving. If it doesn't fit in your budget right now and that's the change you're going to have to make, I would say no, don't do it.
Heather?
I totally agree with you. You don't want to be house poor, right?
Right.
Like, save money. If you can't afford this yet, if it's really pushing you thin, I just think maybe it's something you still wait for, right? Like, wait till you have the
funds
the right
to
budget.
Do it. Yeah.
And I think it's tough because you could sell yourself, well, I'll save on a gym membership. But do you have one right now? Like, you can't save money that you weren't already spending.
Yeah.
And it's really easy to say, I just won't go out as much. And then your buddies call you up and you're like, oh,
you're in Chicago. You're not going to go out in Chicago?
Right.
Who are we kidding here?
Yeah. You're still going to go do those things. So I would say, wait for that dream place. It will be there when you're ready.
Especially if you have a little more saved up.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. All right, the next one is work wife. Dear John, my husband has a work wife. They're coworkers who hang out a lot and occasionally go out to lunch. She'll bring him homemade snacks, and he's brought her leftover desserts that I made for him. It didn't bother me at first, but the more it goes on, the worse I feel. To make matters worse, she recently work proposed to him to make their relationship work official. Work official, like, you know,
okay.
Work official. She joked they should throw a wedding at work out of and use their pizza party funds. I'm furious. There's a rumor she's going to wear her wedding dress from her failed marriage 5 years ago. My husband thinks it's hilarious and won't take me seriously. What do I do?
Your husband needs a smack upside the head, and I'm not a proponent of spousal abuse. That's not where this is. But you got to knock some sense into him. This is weird. That's extremely weird. How he doesn't see it or listen to his wife and her concerns, there's already something there.
What I was going to say. If he doesn't find the fact that she might wear a wedding dress to work strange.
Well, just having an event like that at work is weird.
The marriage.
All of it is.
The first part, okay, hey, you're going to bring in some desserts, she brings in treats, fine, whatever.
I think that's fine. I do think male and female coworkers can do those things. I don't think
I don't think you should use the term work wife. I think that's weird in and of itself.
It is.
Beyond wedding dress and ceremony.
But there was a job I used to have and somebody would refer to me as their work wife. I would never refer to them as like my work husband, but it was just like because we worked together.
Yeah, you can have friends at work, your coworkers. The whole work wife thing is
weird.
Okay, I get it, right? You know, you work and if you're working a 9-to-5, a lot of times you do see your coworkers more than you see your spouse.
Yes.
You know, a waking hours.
Of course.
But don't
blur that line though.
No, that's just
this more than blurs the line.
Oh my goodness, to have a quote unquote wedding at work.
What does this guy think? Oh, it's all part of the joke. It's all part of the bit, dude.
That's weird.
Yeah, she's off her rocker. That's crazy.
Find a new job.
That's crazy.
Picking up women at the gym. Dear John, I've been kicking ass, going to the gym, getting in shape. I run 4 miles a day. Best shape of my life. I'm also single, and I want to get out there more. I'm sure you've seen those videos online, guys caught staring at the gym. I don't want to be seen as a creep. How do I approach women at the gym? Do you have any advice?
Oh, wow. That's a tough one. Especially now that my daughters are, going to gyms, and they always come home with stories about, this guy said hi. And instantly as a dad, I'm like, weirdo.
Yeah.
I wouldn't force anything. Whatever conversation happens, and I don't know how it would start, it just has to be organic, and it can't be like I don't know that I would ever go up to anybody in a gym. And my perspective on this is a little different. I have not been a frequent gym goer because all of my workout experience has been at team gyms and workout facilities. But I have since retirement been in some gyms. I not the place to pick up women. I think you just always come off as weird unless there is organic conversation that happens, but I wouldn't force anybody. Like if a girl has her headphones,
that's the first thing I was going to say. Take cues. If she's got headphones in, don't bother her.
No.
If you can initiate a conversation that's more casual about like how many more reps you have, or you're at the waterfowl.
Are you done with this?
Do you
this
need
machine?
A spot?
Yeah, don't do that.
I'm joking.
But I also think some of this does come down to like we joke. Is she hot? Does she find you attractive? Are you hot, right? I mean, from a woman, what could be creepy from a guy could be less creepy if she's attracted to you.
Yeah. But I know, Heather, you've been in gyms.
I do. Have you ever had frequently
anybody? I know your relationship with Colin started not at a gym, so.
No, gosh, no.
Need a spot?
Yeah.
No.
Any weird experiences that you could?
Not really, no. But like you said, like I go with headphones on. Like I'm not there to mingle. I've never, haven't really gone to a gym single where I'm like, is that? I don't even think that's where I would go to pick up a guy. But I go with my headphones on. I am in the zone. Don't mess with me.
What? But you know? But in people's defense, if you were at the gym, like you, right now, you don't have your wedding ring on.
I never
so
wear my ring.
If you don't have a wedding ring on there, somebody may not know.
That's
probably
true.
Wouldn't know that you are.
And so I would let them know politely, like,
of course. Oh, I'm married.
Yeah.
But you have this. We live in this era now where everybody's on the dating apps, and women say, like, well, I wish guys would approach me. Well, this is a shared space that you guys both have a shared interest.
What's the way to do it? Yeah, I would say no.
Avoid it.
Unless something naturally happens in regards to conversation.
You both go to grab the dumbbell at the same time.
And your hands touch.
Oh,
there's a moment.
The last one, really quickly.
Okay, involving HR. So, dear John, I've got a coworker whose hygiene is more than questionable. Bad breath is one thing, but this guy openly reeks of BO. Not sure if he even owns deodorant. How do I handle it? Is that an HR issue, or do you politely let him know first?
So it's one thing if it's a girl telling a guy telling a girl. I think that can be awkward. If it was a dude, I'm a very straightforward individual, and if I got to be in this space, I would just say, dude, I'm not sure what's going on, but you stink today.
You'd be blunt.
Yeah, I'd be very straightforward with it. And oh, I mean, there are signals that you can send, like, you know, if you're in the same room, you'd be like, what is that smell? But I'm not that type of individual. I'm going to be very straightforward and say, man, did you forget to shower this morning? Or, you know, could you help us out here a little bit?
But what if it's
what
like
if you end
your
up in
boss?
HR? Oh, God.
Oh, if it's
well,
your boss?
It depends on what your relationship is with your coworker. Yeah, I mean, if it's right. your superior, are you going to say that to him? Like, man, you stink today. Go home and take a shower.
And every day.
If it's my boss, probably not. I don't know.
If Jimmy comes in and he smells rancid.
For Jimmy, I would. But And again, it depends on the relationship that you have. How long you've been working together. How long has this been going on? Is this a new... you know, situation, the same individual, but a new situation. Yeah, it's, but I'm always, hey, it's better to be straightforward.
It's Dear John. It's 97.1. Make the most of the summer with a deal from Moran Chevrolet, Michigan's number one selling Chevy dealer in 2024. If you need a ride that keeps up with your summer plans, how about the all-new 2025 Trax 1RS for $279 a month? You can lease it on a 36-month lease with $999 down. It's only at Moran Chevrolet, where you always get the best price, period. Find your ride fast. Shop at moranexpress.com or stop in. They're great folks. They'll take care of you in person. They're on Gratiot north of 15 Mile in Clinton Township. Chevrolet, together let's drive. Some are calling it John's worst take ever.
On what?
Well, nothing from Dear John, but what we're going to get to after the Dear John text, because you want to steal something from the All-Star game last night, and so do I.
I doubt it's my worst take ever, but it's probably is a bad take.
I think you'll top it the next hour or two. We still got time. Yeah. some Dear John ticket text, 248-539-9797. Then we're going to talk All-Star game, stuff we want to steal from it, and I don't want anything from the Tiger performance to be stolen from it. You can leave that in Atlanta. Ticket texter wants to talk about the work wife situation.
Yeah.
Will they work bang? Another says, where does it end? Work kids, a workhouse and mortgage? Brian in Utica.
Yeah. You know, sharing food at the office. Like, okay, we all do that,
yeah,
right?
That's fine.
Hey, you know, your wife makes some cookies,
sure.
You bring them in. My wife made something I want to share with you guys.
That's
we bring
good.
It in. But the whole, you know, doing the work.
A ceremony?
That's just.
I think even referring to someone as your work wife is kind of cringy.
100%.
It is cringy.
Yeah.
What else we got here? What about, John, what happens after a work wedding? What about the work honeymoon?
Well, I mean, it's all part of the equation. It's
why
you know.
Those Gen Zers want those, what?
They
wanted solo rooms.
Solo rooms, yeah, yeah. That way you don't have to worry about a partner.
It's true.
Yeah,
but
maybe that's the way
avoid
to avoid
the
work wife.
Maybe that's it.
Blow off some steam, and then
husband.
You don't have to worry about it. with the gym situation, it's 2025. If a girl's interested in you at the gym, she'll let you know. Otherwise, respect the space. Leave them alone.
Yeah, I agree. Respect the space. Unless she makes a move.
That's it says you'll know.
Yeah.
If she
starts
you
a conversation,
invite,
yeah.
That's Mike in Ann Arbor. On... letting people know that they stink at work. Yeah, John, but most people aren't 6'7" and 300 pounds. Insinuating that people aren't going to talk back to you.
It's an awkward situation. I get it. But if you're in that same space on a daily basis and it just is stank, then you got to say something. You can't just continue to go on like that. I mean – you could be doing them a solid. Like, maybe they don't realize
probably
it.
Don't realize. There's a couple more ticket texts. One says leave an anonymous note on their desk.
Or just anonymous deodorant.
Breath
mints.
Yeah, you get there early.
Tic-tacs, yeah.
Oh, it's a whole little goodie bag of smell better.
Here's a toothbrush. Here's some deodorant. Maybe a little bit of cologne.
Message sent. and one more says, Dear John, the HR issue, tell him his shirt has a funky smell, gives off bad BO. It'll make it a one-off situation without calling him out or being embarrassing Mo in a car. Blame the clothes.
Yeah, blame the clothes, yeah. I don't know. Did you walk by a skunk this morning?
Do the best you can.
No, it's just be straightforward.
All right. last night at the All-Star game. Everybody's excited. Tigers have six All-Stars, John.
And the Bat Boy.
And the Bat Boy. So we're all going to sit in, we're going to settle in, and we're going to watch all of our All-Stars. Nobody's got more than the Detroit Tigers. It's going to be a hell of a night. Yeah. One of them's got to have a hell of a day, right? Well, a big play, a big hit, something.
Yeah, we start off with Gleyber Torres. Swing and miss. All right. That's no problem.
Right.
Hey, Riley Green's up next. Yeah. Swing and miss.
All right. Not great. Well, Scooble, the best pitcher on planet Earth and maybe other planets too, he gets on the bump, but they've got him mic'd up, and it's cool for the All-Star game because it's the battery, pitcher and catcher, and I'm curious. But I don't know if it threw him off. He gave up a couple soft contact hits, and then he gave up the big knock.
I don't know that anybody's focus in an exhibition game like that is there's pride at stake anytime you take the field. And there's nobody more prideful that we've seen than Tarek Skubal. But I don't know that you're going to have the same stuff that you would in a regular season game. And it's just, I know that people are disappointed. He gave a couple of hits. It was all soft contact. It was all, you know, hit them where they ain't
sort
of deal.
Well, Marte's hit was a good hit, but they're already two on.
Right. And then, you know, both score on that one, and he gets out of the inning.
He said when he got his first out, he's like, I thought I was never going to get one, which is why it was cool to have him mic'd up because the stakes are negative. There's nothing on the line in that spot. So it gives us a chance inside the world where he was talking a little more in the first at bat, and then I think he started to zone in, and he's like, I don't want to be too chatty. I want to get these guys out.
We got to see a little bit of the personality on the mound, which was cool. I love the mic'd up
I did, stuff. Too. I mean, Kershaw is asking, what pitch you want me to throw? I don't throw that. And then he throws it in the dirt.
He was having fun with it.
Because there's no stakes. You're just there to cut loose and have a good time. PCA getting mic'd up in center field. Jack Wilson with his dad.
Yeah. All the mic'd up stuff was cool. I would love more of that. We see it on Sunday Night Baseball. I always enjoy that.
Jacob Wilson and Jack Wilson.
Right.
Yeah.
But the fact that the no hits from the Tigers, 0 for 8 at the plate, and it's Tarek Skubal. Okay, you're facing some of the best batters on planet Earth, best pitcher on planet Earth. Something's got to give. Hitter's got a couple of hits. Casey Mize, you know, is on the mound. He gives up a home run. I know it wasn't a great look, and we were all more Tigers fans were watching last night than have probably watched in a decade and a half.
Oh, yeah.
Because we've always just had the one token reliever.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden we've got six representatives. You thought somebody – the odds are somebody was going to do something.
Torres
and nobody
0 for
did.
2, yeah. Green 0 for 3, McKinstry 0 for his pinch hit appearance, Baez 0 for 2. They went 0 for 8 at the plate. We pushed. We wanted to see these guys. And
disappointing, but it all ends there.
It should, but some of the texts we've gotten this morning, I wonder about people's psyche. Like, I know they lost 4 in a row going to the break. You want to get off on a much better start on Friday night. Some people think this is like a thing now.
No, sky is not falling. It's still the team with the best record in Major League Baseball, and they're going to be playing in the postseason. Now it all comes down to – it comes back to the same questions, right? And it's not about last night. It comes down to what are they going to do at the trade deadline, and that we all want to know what's going to happen by the 31st of this month.
Yep. But, John, ticket text. If I'm all honest, last night the Tigers performed the way they do against almost all elite opponents, Joe and Ann Arbor. They're going to start coming in because we brought it up.
Well – I get the concern, but last night does not play a part of it.
No.
And a four-game losing streak does not make a season. Like, you got to look at the track record of this team. Have they beaten good opponents? When the Giants came to town, what happened?
They beat the Giants. Padres came to town. They beat the Padres. When the Mariners were here earlier in the season, or they went out to Seattle
in
the season.
Yeah, they won two of three.
We could do this. They took two or three against the Cubs.
And so there's you could spin it any way, right? In 84, they lost a series. They got swept by the Mariners at home, and then they went on to win the 84 World Series. And everybody says, well, okay, well, now that happened. And they're trying to make all these connections between what the Tigers are now versus what they were in 84. You're reading the tea leaves. History repeats itself. The season's going to play out. This is still a really good baseball team.
Ticket texters. Every year, a team has a historic collapse. Who are you people?
Well, I think that's it's all the people that when you buried – who did you bury? The
Guardians.
And
they got 6-1 since.
Yeah.
Can I say something on that one?
It's the Costa lock, all of that different stuff. It's your fault. It's really – that's what it comes down to.
That's what it comes down to. Tom, go ahead.
Isn't it an oxymoron to say every year has a historic collapse?
Yes.
It wouldn't be historic if it happened every year.
Right.
The sky fell on the Red Wings. Always be wary of the second half of the season. This is a real thread we have going in the background of the show today.
I know it's a long season. I know there's – and I know I'm the one that hasn't, you know, locked up the division. Is it most likely locked up? Is it the Tigers' division? Yes. I don't expect them to go on a historic losing streak paired with some historic run by the Guardians or by the Twins.
Yeah, part of what made last year special is it's not supposed to happen every year. So when you text that in, it doesn't have any merit. I'd also say, in a very meager defense of myself and the confidence in this baseball team,
yeah.
2 weeks ago they won on Sunday Night Baseball against the Twins, and that's when I did my, hey, this division's over, they're 11.5 games up.
Right.
Then the very next week, they sweep the Guardians, and Tom jumps on board, right?
Yeah, they're 13.5 up.
They're still 11.5 up at the All-Star game. They've lost no ground in all of this like grandstanding that I've done. They've lost no ground, even though they are on their longest losing skid of the season.
Yeah, they're a team that is going to be just fine, and we all hope that reinforcements are on the way. Bullpen arms, a bat. I know everybody says right-handed bat. I'll take any bat that is more effective than Trey Sweeney, more effective than Parker Meadows. I'm not ready to throw Matt Vierling out. He needs more at bats. I think water's going to find its level, but I do think that they need some reinforcements.
So we are not dwelling on the Tiger performance from the All-Star game, but there are two things to come from last night. One that John wants to implement immediately, and one that I want to put in the game of baseball starting Friday night. It's 97.1.